at Westport Park, and actually in the world, for the next little bit. We went out there, and if you were here, if you weren't here, God has blessed you. But if you were here, you know that when we were out there in that parking lot, it was really weird at times. Do you remember what we did? We put a ladder up, and the ladder had a purpose. It was to put an antenna on top of it. That antenna now sits on the roof.
Where you have come from.
We had a little antenna on top of a ladder.
Headphones, and a microphone, and flags in one hand, and rubber boots. I mean, who knows what all you did.
We went through that whole thing, and every church did, trying to figure out what we were doing. Sometimes I'd stand up and start to preach, and it'd go something like this. Right? I mean, it was just a complete nightmare for a while. Some point there, we have a trusty person here who every week puts our banners up for us. That's Betsy. Father, what do I need to know? Since Evie came along, Evie helps every week. But that banner right back there, I want y'all to look at it. Don't worry, be happy. You remember when that was put out there? Can you remember seeing that? That became a favorite of mine. Because every week I was so tense. What's going to go wrong today? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen now? What possibly could happen next? We put that up there. We hang that up from time to time. And when we came in the building, Betsy puts all those back down in the choir room. I wasn't happy when I put them in the room upstairs out in the choir room. But that one went into my office. And it hung on my wall. And it says, "Don't worry. Be happy." Because isn't it true that life does give us? And usually when the storms come along, we get no weather alert. No one comes along and says, "Hey, Joel, for 2019, you and your church are going to have one of the worst times they've ever had in their history." And you might say that. I'm going to tell you that I actually look at it differently. I think a lot of growth in here through that time. That's just my opinion.
We were spending time back then.
How often does that make one of that? If anybody in the boat knew that there was going to be a storm, it was him, and he didn't tell anybody about it. He crawled in, and we're reading verse here in a minute. If anybody knew it, it was him, and all they did was crawl into that boat, said, "Let's go to the other side," and jumped in with him, and he put his head down on a cushion, and he fell asleep. I want to talk with you today a little bit about what that's like. I want you to imagine that you are one of those disciples. I want you to imagine that you have been with Jesus, seeing a whole lot of stuff going on. You know, earlier in this chapter, we're in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had begun to talk about the kingdom of God. And he'd say something to them like, you know, a sower went out to sow, and he spread his seed, and fell in all these different places. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And then he'd say stuff like, you know, the kingdom of God is like a crop that's thrown into the ground, and in time it begins to grow. That's what God's kingdom is like. And he talked, leading up to this trip on a boat, four or five different parables, all focusing on what his kingdom is like. And he gives those disciples in the boat, "You," he says, "come on, go with me. We're going to cross this lake. We're going to go to the other side." And you say, "Okay, I'm going anywhere you go, Jesus. I'm in the boat. I'm all in." And then you get out there in the middle. Without warning, this storm arrives. Not just any storm. I mean a gale force storm. I mean a whopper of a storm. Not only is the storm bad, but the boat begins to take on water. And it looks like there's a calamity around the corner. It looks like there's chaos everywhere. And you get to look at each other and somebody probably actually says it. You may know where Jesus is. And when they go to find him, he's asleep. His head's on his pillow. His body is relaxed. He's in that deep REM sleep where he's breathing. And the storm is going on around you. He has no idea. We think that the storm is about to destroy the ship. come. Jesus said to them, let's go to the other side. It's getting late in the day. You're also tired. Why do we keep turning the clock back? I have so much to do every day. And then darkness is here too soon. Evening had come. Let's get out of here. Let's go across the way. And it says, leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. Just as he was. And other boats were with him. We'll just stop for a minute and think about that. Nonchalantly crawls in the boat. Some other boats come along and there would be a storm with him, with you. And the storm grows. Waves are breaking in the boat. The boat was already filling up. I have been on a lake in a 24-foot glass-round boat that began to take on water. It is not a happy experience. The boat is beginning to gather water, and you're trying to pump it out, and you can't get out quick enough because there's so much coming in that you begin to think about the worst happening. Jesus' disciples had no pump. They had no bilge. They had no ability to get the storm out where it was supposed to be, away from them. It just kept coming in. Here's Jesus, asleep, relaxed, laying with his head on a pillow. He's in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And I've got to tell you, my weird sense of humor. You know, I grew up on the Ohio River, and we were out there all the time in boats, all the time in boats. And back in the day, I don't know if they still make or not. They made these seat cushions that had handles on them, and those cushions were actually flotation devices. If the Coast Guard pulled you over, it counted as a life jacket, those cushions back then. I don't know if they have them today or if they're counting today, but when this says that Jesus is asleep on the cushion, what came to my mind was he's got the life jacket. Right? Where's mommy? They woke him up. They said, teacher, don't you perishing. I'm going to talk about the word perishing for a minute, but I just want to remind you, because we started last week when we were talking about anxiety, right? Do you remember what we said anxiety was? Anxiety was, you know, when everything can pull in different directions. It's actually the meaning of the Greek word that was used in our text last week. When you're being pulled this way, and being pulled this way, and being pulled this way, and being pulled this way, with this word, perishing, is not being pulled in different directions. It's being obliterated. Teacher, don't you care? We're not going to be in pulled different directions. We're about to get wiped out. He woke up and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And Jesus said, peace be still. Look at what it says. The wind ceased. Doesn't. The storm stops. The waves die down. The water cannot be emptied from the boat. And all that's going on suddenly is able to come back to some sense of normalcy. You don't get a warning for the next storm. You heard the phrase a sleeping giant. You know, something that's lying there asleep and you probably shouldn't wake it up. Remember, they woke Jesus up. Now, I'm not implying that Jesus is negative or a bad person in any way, but they woke up in a different storm. And again, the alarms didn't go off, the storm warning didn't go off. They just woke up with one that they traveled with, they walked with, they listened to, and they asked him, don't you care? And here's that next storm. It's a question. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Look what the next verse says. They were filled with great fear. So I have a question. Why are you filled with great fear? Mark tells us they were filled with great fear. So that they spoke to each other and they said, who is this? that the wind and the sea obeyed him. In a matter of an instant, the storm that was coming in the boat, the storm that was pouring over in rain and waves and sinking the boat and causing them to go to find Jesus with his head asleep on a cushion and saying, "Don't you care that we're being destroyed out here?" They wake him up. And he brings a new question, and in doing that, a new storm in their lives. Because he says to the storm, "Peace be still." And what they were once afraid of, what they went to tend to get help with, now they realize, uh-oh, who is this? Are you still without faith? Why are you so afraid? And it says they were filled with great fear. And they said to each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." And really, I think the big question in today's message for these disciples, I ask you to pretend that you were a disciple, is, does Jesus care when we're in a storm? What really did they ask Jesus? Don't you care? Don't you care?
Does Jesus care? What's this waiting for? Jesus cares. Use that for the church.
But I want you to understand the disciples, as they probably were, don't you care?
I should have told you that before.
Who cares?
Yeah. Give me something to do.
We're not going to be swamped. We're going to be
swamped. So hard to get out
of it. We're going to
crash. That's a lot of work.
Perishing then, again, not to get the direction, but to be totally destroyed. Means to be smashed, to be snuffed out.
How much past you?
To be wiped out.
Systems.
As much as the scriptures talk about the fact that the disciples were fishing and they know.
Well,
was a
lot of
problem. You know, what is it? This thing, the sea was evil.
I think it's
most people didn't work on the sea. The sea were a symbol of something that was really evil, dark.
Surprising.
It threatened to destroy.
Assembling stuff, tearing stuff.
No, thank you. That's right. I want you to consider how they look in the book. And we did all right. We did all right. We did all right. We did all right.
Think about it. Yeah, I know.
They keep me worried. They keep me in peril.
Fair enough. Up front, yeah.
And very calmly, he wakes up and he says, "Peace. Be still."
When are you off?
And his storm slows down and stops.
Between 8 and 3:30.
The roaring of the waves.
I could make anything.
We think of storm as the nature out there, right? We
like 3 miles. What's that? We're like 3 miles.
Yeah. I want you to know that it says
that's where we stopped.
The roaring of the sea,
the roaring of the rain, isn't it?
Yeah. Who still smiles? Psalm 89:9 says, "You roll the rage of the sea. When its waves rise, you still stand." 93:4, "Mightier than the thunders of many waters. Mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord our high is mighty." There's a song I want to read you. We're not going to put it on the screen. But I want you to think about the last time you had a storm in your life. I hope you understand what I'm talking about.
Ben would like this job.
Listen to this song and then play the context of your last storm. Tell her down to the sea and ship. Doing business on the great waters, they saw that peace of the Lord, his wondrous works, and
see the dilemma.
He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in the sea, like they reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. You ever been in that storm? Look what it says. This is Psalm 107, verse 23-3. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble," the disciples do. "Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing out here." "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm to be still. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." Psalmist used 7 verses. Jesus used 3 words. You heard sermons and Sunday school lessons about Jesus.
To build peace,
you may have done some planning. See something here.
Two of the problems that we do in our life.
What the disciples saw that day, and what we should see when we read and hear the story again. It's just exactly, in very concrete terms, in concrete reality, just exactly what God's limits are, what Jesus' limits are.
There could be a sale point there. To sell that to them. Yeah. You don't have to be an electrician. You don't have to be a
surgeon.
You
don't
have
to
be
a
learn all that nonsense. You just have to show it. We call it that. Have a good ethic.
Yeah.
And then steal stuff.
If we
The power that's greater than all of that is the power that created the world, created the universe, created you. It's the power that made Jesus rise from the dead. It's now acting for him in this story as he says, "Peace be still," and subdues the the storm. It calms the sea. If you were the one that calms all the people, then everybody else would worry about it.
Your benefits and everything else with that. And you've got to pay for the benefits. I like it.
It's Colossians 1, verses 15-20. I'm going to read that all to you. I'm going to go back to the 16th verse. But listen to what it says. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him, everything was created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or authorities. This is how you understand that election a couple of weeks ago. All things were created for him and for him. He's before all things. In him, everything holds itself together. He's the head of this body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He has preeminence in everything. Imagine the church singing in him, all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased as well. And through him and reconciled to himself all things, whether in heaven or on earth, he made peace by the blood of his cross. That's who Jesus is. This one who's asleep in the boat with his head on a cushion in the middle of our storms. He's the God that made it all. He's the God that threw it all together and pulled it together and keeps it spinning the way it's supposed to. He's the sun we're supposed to be and the moon where it's supposed to be. And you and I, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him.
What else will we try?
Right.
Yeah, but my boss would not.
You want me to tell you why you didn't need to hear me read Colossians 1 verses 15-20? Because you've already read our chapter
2.
This man has all three words. He's still.
I think it was.
And something that was close to our hurricane this season. This man has spoken three words. And the worst thing that the disciples could ever imagine drowning in that lake is and so when they come to Jesus and the storm settles down, they speak to him, they ask him this question.
Our security guys.
Where are we?
There's a point where, like,
you were to tear this down to the original language. What you find is that Jesus is actually saying to them, I want you to hear this. Don't you yet have mercy for you? I've been so long with you.
Has everything.
I don't understand it very badly. Don't you have faith?
It's kind of our credo.
I just told you about my kingdom. And it was terrible. I told you the kingdom would be like a field of seed fruit. Sometimes it brought back 30, 60 fold. It'd be like a light that you couldn't hide. It'd be like a seed growing in your heart, your mind. This faith would bring God's kingdom to bear on this earth. Through those who have faith, who really believe, through people like you. The kingdom's not going to come with a mustard seed. The kingdom's going to come with you. The kingdom's not going to come because a sower throws you around it. It's going to come because of you. Are you really so amazed that I settled this storm? It's nothing for me. What you really want to see is what God can do when you want to serve you. When you really have faith. When you really understand that whether I'm asleep in the bottom of the boat or I'm over in Jericho somewhere right here in this barn, it's going to be okay because you've got faith in the right things. The church, what would happen if we as believers, as people of faith, actually lived in the storms of our lives like we met? What would happen if we faced the storms of our lives trusting that we don't have to worry, we can be happy, we don't have to fret, we can be joyful, we don't have to fear? Because the one in whom we place our faith is in the storm with us. We pray prayerless story. I've been telling you this for at least 4 years now. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's only going to come if it comes through us. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are we afraid? Don't you have faith yet? You're short of nothing compared to what I've been preparing for you. Go find your faith. How many of you watched the Ohio State game yesterday? Okay, just by way of information, there's a meeting that's going to happen after this today. Steelers play at one. You got a lighthouse up on your screen. That lighthouse should be moving. Is it moving on your screen? Are the stars moving? Okay, I don't have that. There's a lighthouse there. We used to go lakeside every year for the annual conference, so we would go down to the Marblehead Lighthouse. I don't think you've ever been to the Marblehead Lighthouse. It's cool, yeah. We took these things up there a couple years ago and took pictures and went up and thought that. But here's the sad news about the Ohio State Michigan thing. Ohio has just over 50 lighthouses. Michigan has 129. You're going to have to get work on that. What does a lighthouse do? Lighthouse does several things, particularly in a storm. It guides the ship away from danger, right? From going in too shallow. But in a storm, it also gives a stable point to see and to guide the ship to its destination that it cannot see. The safest way to a destination that you cannot see, listen closely. The safest way to a destination that you cannot see because of the storm is not to focus on the storm. It's to focus on the lighthouse. You'll get to your destination. You'll get to where you're supposed to be if you find a stable place that's in the midst of the storm. And those are only found with Jesus. I'm down to my last slide, which means I'm at my bottom line.
Sometimes.
When we focus on the storm, we lose track of our faith. If you get into the boat and the water begins to come over, and the wind begins to blow, and the boat begins to hang on water, and that's all you can see.
Yeah. There it is.
You'll end up having Jesus end that story by asking you what you're afraid of. But now you've made it. Our focus can never be on the storm. Our focus needs to be on the stable thing, and that's Jesus. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the destination that we know God's got. We can't reach out and touch it with our hands. It's just right here around the corner. But it's kind of near now.
Faith relinquishes, vanquishes. Anxiety. I think that's what I've heard.
I want you to stop and think about something like that. It's not about
I can't have both.
One's better. That was born on the But what you did in 2019 was because you wanted to get to 2024.
Yep, we did.
Some of you may not believe that. I don't know. The reality was you were going to stay in the storm you were in unless you took a unless you put yourself, remember this phrase, all in. Unless you got into it and believe that God was taking us to park church somewhere.
Is that so good?
And I'm just going to you, you know, this is off the subject, this wasn't planned. I don't know if you guys have done it, did I apologize? Can't with God, I don't care about a church.
You're just all things about it.
We'll begin to pick up a place. It didn't necessarily listen to the neighborhood, it just went around the corner. Bring along the Bible study, bring along the play, we had work and ministry, all of those kind of things. We weren't there alone.
The guys who built those.
Both of us got called into a handful of office. And the leadership of the church said, we want you to know.
A couple guys want to fund stuff. I was wondering how I could ask them. my boss might. I don't know. Reach out to me if it goes.
We want you to do what you're doing. It's great. It's wonderful. But you can just leave the know now. And you think churches don't do that? You better think again. The thing that I admire about you, Westbrook Park, is that you said what I raised it in you. I think you know that. Sitting every meeting, I listen to Bill. I listen to Diane. Listen to what's going on, and I think you've really come somewhere. You'd have never got here if you'd have kept your eye on the team. You got here because you kept your eye on the ball, on the destination, and on the one who stayed and brought you here. Amen. We're singing, closing. You're worthy of it all. You're welcome to stand with me. Following the song of great benediction will take about 3 minutes. And our charge conference will begin. Would you stand with me?